Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? I hope that you come out here this morning again expecting that the Lord will work and move in our lives. I hope that you expected that. You know, I want to continue on in my little series that I've been doing of, you know what, that's a great question, you know? And if you would turn to Job, the 14th chapter, if you would do that, please. I'll get to that here in a little bit. I'll get down to the scripture I'm going to read here in just a little bit. But Job, I'm going to be in mostly in Job, the 14th chapter. You know, the Greek philosopher Socrates, after being sentenced to death, and he was going to drink the poison hemlock, you know what? As he's getting ready to do it, as people were gathered around him, they ask him this question. After death, shall we live again? They ask him this. Upon which Socrates answered this. He said this. He said, I hope so, but no man can know. I hope so, but no man can know. Now, turn to Job 14:14. In Job 14:14, it said this. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You see, Job asked the same question. That's a great question. If we die, shall we live again? Shall we live again? Let us pray, Father. If we come, Lord, this morning, we come, Lord, thanking you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. And Father, I ask you, Father, this morning, you know what, Lord, that you would just put the anointing down upon this service this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you know what, that the Spirit would go out, Lord, that hearts would be receptive, Lord, and the Father, that you would give us the answers to these questions in our life, Lord. And we will give you the praise for it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we ask, and amen, and amen. You know what? Job gave an entirely different answer to this question than Socrates did. You know what? Socrates hoped that he would live again. I'm going to show you here in a little bit where Job said that he knew that he would live again. You know what? Socrates faced death with apprehension. Job faced it. You know what? Job was certain about what would happen, if anything would happen in his life. And I'm going to be all through Job here today. We're going to look into it. If you notice in the very first chapter, the very first verse of 14th chapter of Job, it says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and is a full of trouble. Whenever we look at this, whenever I'm going to go down through this and look at it, I'm going to break it down into some things here. Job is talking about life, number one, and how life is and what it's like. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and is full of trouble. Now, I want to ask you a question here this morning. I want to see if you qualify. How many in here were born of a woman? I see some of you are. Some of you didn't raise your hands. Evidently, I'm not sure if you were. Everyone in here qualifies for that statement. You know what? It says there that man that is born of a woman is a few days and is a full of trouble. Job said he knew. You know what? Listen to me. I'm here to tell you this morning. Listen, I know my life, and I look at yours, and I've seen some things in your life. Listen to me. How many of you in here, listen to me, have never had trouble in your life? Have never had one ounce of trouble? You know what? Because I'm here to tell you, a man or a woman that is born of a woman has a few days, but some of those days are going to have trouble in those days. The number of one thing that Job is telling you and I this morning is this. Life is full of troubles at times. Am I right? Life is going to be full of troubles. The number of one thing he's telling us, from the very commencement of life, from the very moment that we are commenced in our life here, you know what? There's going to be times where you and I are going to face troubles in our life. I know there's things coming up in our lives here shortly. And I know there's things in your life. And I've faced these things down through time, and you have as well. But tell me, listen to me, you are going to face situations in your life where you know what? You're going to have to depend on Him more than you've ever depended on anything else in your life. So our times are short, and they are going to be full of trouble in our life. If Job were to stand here this morning and testify to you about anything, he would stand here and testify to you, listen, you know what? The Bible states that I was the richest man on earth. He said, at one time I was the richest man on earth. The Lord had blessed me beyond measure. The Lord had blessed me with a great family, but guess what? In a moment, in an instant, it was all taken away from him at one time. Amen? It was done that. He would tell you, I believe he would testify that. He would testify to you how blessed of a life that he had had. But I'm here this morning to tell you, listen to me. Job is telling us that intermingled within our life, within the blessings of this life, is going to be sometimes heartache, is going to be sometimes trouble, is going to be sometimes things that, you know what, we don't hardly understand, but he knew about it. Job knew about it whenever it was wrote down. A man's days are few and can be full of a lot of trouble sometimes. Job was telling us that. Job also said that he had known both extremes. Job knew both extremes. You know what? There's some of us in here that may have known both extremes. Maybe we've been blessed beyond measure, but we've also dealt with the heartaches in our life. Job said, I knew that. I understand that. That he said, I've been that way. Life at its best is not without heartaches. I'm sorry. I wish that I could tell you that it is. But life at its very best is not going to be without the heartache sometimes that is put upon us. And I've seen that. I wish I could just paint it with rose-colored glasses, but there's no way that we could do that. But the truth is there will be times we're going to say goodbye to those we love sometimes. Am I right? We're going to do that. There are going to be times we experience disappointments. Guess what, kids? You don't always make the team. Amen? Guess what, kids? You don't always get the boyfriend and the girlfriend that you thought that you were going to get. Guess what, folks? You know what? You know, you don't always get the job that you thought that you were going to get. There are going to be disappointments in this life. Job knew it full well. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if that's all that you have to face sometimes in this life, you're going to be a happy person if that's all that you have to face. Someone once wisely said, from the cradle to the grave, from the high chair to the wheelchair, life is full of troubles. It is full of troubles at times. So Job is telling everyone that life is full. He said, life will have its ups and downs, but he said, for us to be prepared for whenever it comes. Job also tells us that life is short. He goes on there to say that. He said, you know, it's a few days. Job also tells us that a man born of a woman is a few days. Now, you and I don't count life in days. If I was to ask you how old you are today, how old would you tell me? You'd tell me you're so many years old. Am I right? Because we measure by years. But do you know, realize that that's not biblical to do that? And I'm not saying I'm putting anybody down for that because we all do it. But really, if you look at it, it's not biblical. If I was to ask you how old, you know, now none of you is going around here going to say that you're 21,744 days old. That's how old I am today. I'm 21,744 days old today. That's how old I am. But somewhere after the first year of life, we stop doing it in months and days, and then we start doing it in years, do we not? About 18 months, that's when we start doing it in years. But really, and I'm telling you again, that's not the way the Bible looks at it. That's not the way it tells us. The psalmist tells us that we are to number our days, count our days, and also to consider our days. You know why? Because to live our lives, the day that we're in is the day that we should worry about. That's why the Bible tells us that. Does it not tell us that? I know that sometimes we look ahead, and I'm not putting anybody down for that. I've done that as well. But, you know, if you want to be biblical about it, the Bible tells us to live our day as the day. The day that we're in is the day that we should consider. And you know what? It makes a lot of sense if you really think about it. Not next week. He doesn't tell us to count our bread for the next year. What did Jesus tell us? He said to what? He said, our daily bread. Thank him for our daily bread. Not for our bread next week, not for our bread next year. Thank it for the bread that we got today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, right? He tells us that also. It is because the problems we have today are the ones that we need to focus on right now. That is the problem we need to worry about. You know what? We worry ourselves sick worrying about what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, whenever, right now, to this day, today is the evil sufficient in this day that we should worry about. In the book of James, it tells us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. I have noticed the older that I get, Jamie, that you know what? I realize how short life is. Amen? I'll tell you, how you younger people, think about this for a minute. You really want to get 13 real fast, right? Oh, I want to be 13 because I'll be a teenager. It seems like it's 20 years to get to 13. Then when you're 16, like you can get your driver's license. It seems like it's another 20 years to get to that. And then, oh man, I can't wait till I'm 18. Then you know what? Then I can graduate. And it seems like you've lived 60 years of your life trying to get to 18 years old. I felt like that whenever I was a kid. I'm just here to tell you. When I was thinking about this, I felt like it took for me forever to get to 16 years, to get to 18. It felt like it forever. You know what? And it felt like life moved at a snail's pace. It seemed like Christmas was a decade in between. I'm here to tell you, that's what it felt like to me. It seemed like Christmas and birthdays were a decade in between. I used to remember, and I thought this, Jamie, I really did. I thought someone who was 40 years old was old. I thought they were old. Now I think somebody in their 50s is young. Amen? I think someone in their 50s is a young whippersnapper is exactly what I think. Because you know why? I've done blow past all those things. And listen to me, I remember this. I remember graduating from high school. I remember me and my wife getting married. We had our children. And you know what? And it just yesterday, we brought Stephanie and Brian home from the hospital. It seemed like it was yesterday. And I'm here to tell you, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if they took Miracle-Gro or what it was. But now, both those kids have kids. And one of them is going to become a teenager here for long, and all three of them are getting close to being teenagers. And you know what? Before long, they're going to be graduating. And I look around. Has anybody else ever looked around? And you thought, where did time go? Where did it go? I'm going to tell you young parents something this morning. If I've never said this from a pulpit, I'm going to tell you right now. You take those young kids, and you love them, and you enjoy every minute with them. I don't care how bad, I don't care how good, you enjoy every minute with them. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, before you know it, they will be 18 years old, they will either be in college or they will be graduated and they will be out on their own, and life is different. I'm here to tell you. Life is different. Young kids, don't wish your life away. Don't do that this morning. Life is short. Job is telling us. He said that a man that is born of a woman is a few days, and life is short. And cherish it. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says this: Rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Listen, whether it's your first or whether it's your fifth child, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to enjoy every minute of it. Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of this womb is this reward. It is, you know what? It is a testament of the scripture. Whenever I stand up here and tell you this morning that your life is but a vapor, it is a testament to what the Bible talks about, because our lives are but a vapor. I'm here to tell you right now, probably 50 years from now, nobody's going to remember, if the Lord allows this earth to stand, who Dave Long was at this church. Maybe not. I'm just here to tell you, I know for sure 100 years from now they may not. But you know what? And they may not remember you 100 years from now. But praise God, you know what? Our legacy can live on through those that we get bring in and let the Lord know that they can save their hearts and get saved and come to the church and be saved. Because you know what? It'll go on and on and on if we do it that way. But praise God, our lives are short and we need to take advantage of every bit of it. You know what it says in verse 10 of Job? I'm going to read 14:10. It says this: But man dieth and wasteth away, and yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? And so a man lieth down and riseth not. Job is just stating reality whenever he's telling us in those verses right there. He's just saying, you listen, he said, apart from the rapture, death is coming to every one of us. You know, death's got a very good statistic, don't you? One out of every one. One out of every one faces death. We don't escape it unless the Lord comes back to take us out of this through the rapture. Do you realize this, that God has put a boundary on our lives? Did you know that? He's put a boundary on our lives. God knew the moment that you were going to be conceived. He knew the moment that you were going to be born, and he knew the moment that you were going to die before your parents even were married, before your parents were even born. Did you know that? Yes, it does. Job 14:5, seeing these days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Did you get that? Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined. Our days are determined. Do you understand that? Our days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds and he cannot pass. How about Hebrews 9:27? And is it appointed unto a man once to die? And after the, but after this, the judgment. God knew the day that you were going to be conceived. He knew it, but way before that, he knew it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he knows the moment that you're going to die. You know that? God knows that. He knows that. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing, all-wise, all-seeing. Proverbs 139, 4. Listen to this. This is how much God knows about you this morning. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Isn't that this thing? You don't think God knows everything about us? Before you even speak a word this morning, before you even said a word, before you say anything, he knows what's on your tongue. He knows what you're going to say. He knows your thoughts. I thought that was amazing. When you look at it and you think about the God that we serve. Psalms 31:15. My times are in thy hand. Jamie, everything is in his hands. Our time is in his hands. Our life is what he's telling us. If you look at it, our life is in his hands. What kind of person ought we to be? Knowing this, knowing that God is that way, that our life is in his hand. He knows the boundaries of our life. He knows, Laura, just how far he's going to take you out there. You know, the most important part is not the part about how far he's going to let us go. It's what we do from the time that we're born until the time that we die. Amen? It's what's important in that. It's the decisions that we make. It's what we say. It's what we do with him that is the most important thing. It is not what's important about knowing the day that you die or that you're going to die. Like God does, what is important is to know what you do with your life before that time comes. We've talked about the shortness of life. We've talked about the reality of death. Now let me talk to you about something positive. You know what? I'm here for you. You say, Dave, we didn't come here for a funeral service. I agree. You didn't come here for a funeral service this morning. I understand that. And you know what? I'm not saying, oh my goodness, we are all going to die. But that's not the most important thing about that is, though, that we can make a choice and we can have the reality. Now let's talk about it. Let's talk about the certainty of eternal life. There is more than one life that happens between our birth and our burial. Listen, there's more beyond the grave. There's more than what happens before we die. There's more than, as Job in verse 14 said, if a man dies, shall he live again? Is there hope? Is death the end? Is the grave the end? Is there more beyond all this? I've heard people, there's a theology out there that talks about graves, that talks about soul sleep. Have anybody ever heard about that? It's out there. And what they talk about is that whenever, and churches teach us, some do, that whenever you die, your soul goes to the grave and you're there until the resurrection, until the rapture. You're not with Jesus at that time. But you know what? I don't think that's biblical either. I don't think that's biblical anyway. I believe that the Bible says that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then I believe that whenever we're dead, whenever we're gone, whenever, if we're a Christian, or when the moment we close our eyes in death, praise God that we will open our eyes and be with him one day. That's what I believe. You know, yes, because, you know what, there's more beyond this. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, the 23rd Psalm says, behold, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to tell you something here this morning, folks. Praise God for this. You know what? There was one that walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and he cleared all the shadows out of the way. Amen? Amen? So that whenever you and I close our eyes in death, we don't have to go through the shadows if we know him as our Savior. We won't be walking through the shadows of death. That'll be cleared out one of these days. Pray God we'll go to be with him. You know what? I kind of think of it this way. I know it doesn't say this in the Bible, and you can argue with me, but you know what? I believe when I close my eyes in death, Jesus is going to be there to grab me by the hand, Belinda. I believe that. And I believe he'll be that with all believers. I believe he'll take, you know what? Welcome home. Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home. I'm here this morning to tell you, Pastor, if there is no hope beyond all this, we are of all men most miserable. Amen? If there's no hope beyond just living this life and being put in the grave, we are of all men most miserable this morning. If a man dies, shall he live again? Let's see what Job answered. Job answered his own question in Job 19, 25 and 27. You know this scripture. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, if a man die, shall he live again? Amen! If you're a Christian, we're going to live again. I'll tell you something else, too. If you're not a Christian, you're going to live again, too. Yes, you are. I'll get to that here in a little bit. If a man die, shall he live again? Job gave a resounding yes, you'll live again. Job is saying that when they put me in the ground, if they put me in the ground, let the worms and whatever insects they are eat this flesh, they can go ahead and do it. Let the bacteria break it down, whatever it may be, it doesn't make any difference. Let this body rot in the ground, because praise God, one of these days, whenever my eyes close in death, I'm going to have to worry about that body. I'm going to get a new spiritual body one of these days. One day you're going to have your text on your phone, or you're going to pick up a newspaper, or you're going to be something else, and they're going to say that Dave Long had died. It's a lie. It's a lie. I didn't die. Don't let them tell you that. Don't let anybody say that, because I didn't die. I'll be with the one that loved me. I'll be alive. I'll be more alive than I've ever been. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This is talking about the resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you get tired of working for the Lord? I hope not, but if you do, I know we all get tired sometimes. We do that. But pray God, we're here to tell you, know that the effort that you put into whatever you do is not in vain. No matter what it is, no matter what you think you're doing, maybe you think you cannot do another thing, but I'm here to tell you, what you're doing for the Lord is not in vain. We can stand upon that. Death is only the ceasing of life here on this side of eternity. That's all that it is. You know what? Our loved ones will be sad because they miss us. Rightfully so that they should miss us. But you know what? They won't have to miss us for eternity. They can come to be with us. They can come to be with us. First off, we know what happens whenever we die. There's a transformation. Amen? The bodies will be transformed. The bodies that we will have for eternity. That's what we're going to be having. This is the life that can be overwhelmed with the disease. This body we live in can be overwhelmed with disease, overwhelmed with the decaying society that we live in. We're overwhelmed in death on this planet. But absolutely, positively, as a matter of fact, there are better days coming for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Shall we live again? Absolutely, positively, beyond a doubt. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will live again in eternity. Not only will we live again, but we'll have a life infinitely better than this one. We'll have a life. I mean, you know, I can't complain too much about how God has, what God has given me down through the years. And that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm here to tell you, what I've got up there, I cannot even compare to. I want to tell you something, Mike. I want to tell you what God did for me. I got the plot to a ground, to a piece of property. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. It was a high cost to get it. And they're building me a place on it right now. Amen. They're building me a place on it right now. I'm here to tell you right now, nothing will ever hurt it. Amen. Nothing will ever destroy it. And you know what? And if you are a Christian, you have the same thing going on. Amen. It'll be decorated just the way that you want it decorated when you get there. And praise God, I'm here to tell you, I can't wait. Amen. I can't wait. For a place that, you know what, that we can go and that we can have. You know what? John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto you myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Mark 8:34 tells us this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Whosoever will come after me. I was that whosoever one time. Sue, I was him. I was whosoever. And you know what? I picked up my cross. Amen? I picked it up. And I'm following him to this day. How about you this morning? Have you picked up your cross? Have you picked it up? And the cross can get heavy. The cross will get heavy. I'm not here to tell you that it won't. There's times that that cross is going to get extremely heavy. But he says, you know what? Pick up your cross and follow me. I think Jamie says it best. He said, we need to keep our eyes on that. Amen? We need to keep our eyes on that. Will man live again? Yes. Yes, a man will live again. Yes, it will. If you are a Christian or a sinner, you're both going to live again one of these days. But guess what they find whenever you close your eyes in death? Listen to me. Listen to what it says. Someone was already went before them. And that was Jesus Christ. He has done that. Job makes a statement that should resonate with everybody's heart here this morning. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you know that he lives this morning? Now, I'm not talking about lip service. The scripture they were reading over there in Acts today, it said, if a man believeth with all thine heart. I'm here to tell you, I believe there are people that can talk a good game. Amen? I believe there are people that can talk a good game. I believe there are people that can say that they are saved and they are not saved. I'm here to tell you, you've got to believe with all your heart. Believe with all your heart. That's what and then he said, what hinders me to be baptized? He said, do you believe with all your heart? He said, yes. And he went down to the water and he got baptized. There is life after death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say willing, rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. You know, in Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. By faith, Job was looking ahead. You know what? By faith, he was looking way ahead. Amen? He was. How about us today? Job knew what he was talking about. I hope that you know what you're talking about this morning. If I ask, if you ask the question this morning, if a man shall die, shall he live again? I hope that you can say that for yourself today. The statement's not only for the saved, but sadly it's for the lost as well. You all know the story about the rich man and Lazarus. I believe that's a literal story, folks. I believe it. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe it's a literal story. This is the way I believe it. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass The beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, also died, and was buried. And he lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I'm telling you, hell is a reality. No, you don't die whenever you close your eyes in death on the side of eternity. None of us do. None of us do. You're spiritually dead, maybe. You won't go to heaven if you don't know Jesus Christ. But once you open your eyes on the other side, you will be in eternal torment for the rest of your life if you do not know Jesus. That's just as blunt and as plain as I can tell you, and I can bear it out in the Bible. No man cometh unto the Father unless it's through Jesus Christ, and we've got to know him. We've got to know him as our personal Savior. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. Eternity is a serious question. Can I say that? Eternity is a serious question when it comes down to your soul. When it comes down to your soul, eternity is a serious question. They come and get a song.